Good morning, church. It's a great joy to be with you again this morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 6. We continue in our series of studies in the Gospel according to Matthew. The last time we looked at this series, we considered the last portion of chapter number 5, where there we learned that in whatever we do, we should try by all means to wear, as it were, the character of God, to be as God will be. It went on to say to be perfect as God is perfect. But there we were reminded to love our enemies. Previously, before loving our enemies, we were told that we should not pay evil with evil. We should also give grace or do good deeds for people who have wronged us, regardless of the crime they have done unto us. This morning, we look at chapter number 6, considering verse 1-4, and the title of the message, Give to the Needy. And it reads as following. This is Jesus Christ speaking. We are still in the Sermon on the Mount. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. May He write His eternal truth upon all of our hearts. One of the greatest blessings of Christianity is that whenever Jesus is speaking to us, we are confronted with the truth. Whenever Jesus decides to open His mouth, He actually is channeling us to a reality that we should know and cherish with all our hearts. His truth confronts our belief system. And soon, as the truth confronts our belief system, there is a change of heart. Soon, it is no longer found in us any false impression of the heart that used to be found before we came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heart begins to deal with new realities of life. We have seen the subject of righteousness as we considered chapter number 5. And now we begin to look at our motive. This is about our motive, something that springs forth because of the righteousness that is in us. Motive, that drive which should surpass our righteousness as a mark of our belonging into the kingdom of God. In this chapter, chapter number 6, as we look at the whole chapter, there are three elements of wrongdoing that Jesus is going to confront in order to change, in order for His people to know that they need to change. Firstly, it is wrong giving, from verse 1-4. Secondly, wrong praying, from verse 5-8. And thirdly, wrong fasting, in verse 16-18. Yet this morning, we're just going to consider verses 1-4. I want you to imagine a group of students standing outside the gates of Tshwane University of Technology. They're standing there, actually protesting outside the gate, trying to show something of unhappiness. So they are protesting there because one lecturer maybe has used a wrong language toward a child or a racial remark towards one of the students. So they want this lecturer removed. So it is clear to us all that they are fighting for the right thing. But imagine them then begins to fight for this right thing, begin to try to remove this lecture, but then they start destroying the facilities of the university, throwing stones, going into the classes, trying to drag people out by force, trying to get through where the lecture maybe is kept, trying to remove that lecture physically and actually brutally. Friends, they are still fighting for the right thing. But the problem there is that they are fighting for the right thing in a wrong way. It is possible to do the right thing in a wrong way. And I believe, church, that giving, as we look in the life of the church today, giving is also something that has become something that is right to do, but it is done in a wrong way. Or it is done right, but with a wrong motive. Because now the students are doing this thing right, but the motive is also to destroy the facility. That is what giving also has become in the life of the church. The doctrine of giving has become a prominent doctrine in the church today, but a false doctrine, if you will. Not because giving is wrong, but the motive is. This day giving is all about manipulations leading to individual enriching themselves. Manipulation leading to people to have less interest in that glorious blessing that is found in giving and the significance of giving. Manipulation leading people not to see that the Bible actually endorses giving and it associates giving with worship, as Barbaras was saying earlier on. So people are blinded to the truth because giving is not done in a biblical way. And friends, we all know that giving is worship. Giving is worship because in it and through it, we acknowledge God. We acknowledge God as we give to God or as we give to one another. In giving, we are invited to give something that we cherish. We are invited to give with our money. People love money, but we are invited to give with our money or to share clothes with other people, things that we have bought with expensive, things that we have bought with money that are so expensive. In giving, we are challenged to pour out some sense of love in what we are doing, to express our love and devotion to God. That is why then, friends, our giving must conform to God's instruction. It cannot be something that we do out of our own knowledge or copying from anyone else. It must be instructed by the word of God. Because God did not leave us on our own subjective imagination to find out a way of doing things. But he has given us his word that will guide us in what we should be doing. So since then, giving is part of the Christian spiritual exercise. Since that is what will please God if you do right. So Jesus has something to say to his disciples in contrary to what the world will teach their own people in terms of acts of charity. Jesus is here to teach something that the world does not teach. Firstly, it begins by giving a warning. So first we shall look at the warning against hypocritical giving. The world will not warn anyone against hypocritical giving. Why? Because giving is giving. The money shall be used. But Jesus is concerned His concern. His concern is not whether you give or you don't give at the moment. His concern is that the people are giving, but they are giving in a hypocritical manner. We shall look at that. Look at verse number 1. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. This warning is Jesus' attempt to teach his followers not to follow the popular way of popular religious leaders and religious systems. To give in a hypocritical manner. That is what the world does. But Jesus is warning us against that. Not to have a man-centered attitude when we do acts of worship. To give with a purpose to gain. That is hypocritical. Giving with a purpose to gain. A purpose to earn man's applause. You want to give because people must clap hands for you. You are giving, coming to the front, holding your envelope as it were in the past, jumping around so that people may see that indeed we have brought your tithes in the church. Jesus says, no, you must not give in a way to be seen or to earn or to have an applause from people, to be appreciated by spectators, to have confidence in your own righteousness, to think that somehow you can generate within yourself a righteousness that will please God, a righteousness that will be acceptable to God. We can see here, friends, again, as I mentioned it before, Jesus is concerned about the issue of the heart. Because for Jesus, the heart is important. It is the fountain of good and evil. A fountain of good when it is heart cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But it continues to be a fountain of evil if this heart is not directed by the power of the Spirit of God. He is concerned about the issues of the heart. So he wants us to search our own hearts through and through and put it against that mirror of the Word of God and look at what the Word of God says and then look at your heart. Does that gel and make one strong message to the praise of God? That is what Jesus is all about. He wants us to consider righteousness as we engage in matters of worship. The word they beware, it's a word that is used so that it warns you so that you continue to pay attention so that what is said here is not found to be like that in you. It says beware. Continue to pay attention. Do not lose focus on the truth. You must take every possible precaution against the sin of hypocrisy. You must take every possible precaution against the sin of doing something in order to be seen by men. He says, do not sound your own trumpet. That is what Jesus says. Do not sound your own trumpet or lead people to play you a danceable tune which will stir up from you pride. Because as people give in order that other people see that they are giving, they're actually trying to earn some kind of status. And Jesus says, those things stir up pride. So do not do something so that men out there will give you an applause in what you are doing. You must not have confidence in yourself. And that was the case with the Pharisees and the scribes, my friends. These unsaved religious men holding position of prominence in religion, standing in the food chain, as it were, on top of the food chain, up the ladder of religion, as it were, but practicing something that is not pleasing unto God. The word the hypocrisy means that these people, in its own perfect interpretation, these people were like actors. That is what the word is all about. They were like actors performing to an audience, not to God. It doesn't mean actors are hypocrites, but the sense of this word telling you about someone that is an actor who wants to just do something because there is an audience. They will not give if there is no audience. They only give when there's some people to see what they are doing. That is an hypocrite. And of course, friends, a purpose of acting is to gain popularity. It is to win these days an Oscar so that you'll be on the Time magazine front page, so that you may be known that you have done something good. So in the same sense, giving hypocritically puts you in some kind of a Time magazine cover page in the minds of the people. So Jesus says, no, it will not be done. You cannot try to win favor and status because you are claiming you're giving to someone. So the word here, we realize, as I was saying, is acting. So these were stage men. Stage men who put gimmick or who put a mask. People who take a role that is not them. Somebody you will call his name as Tau Mohale, but his name is not Tau. He's got the real name. I'm making an example. That is acting. So he's playing a role. He's standing before people to be loved for something that is not. As soon as he leaves the screen, as soon as it's out of the TV, the life that is living out there is contrary to the person that you love on TV. That is what happens with acting. So this was all about acting. So Jesus condemns it. He says, they blew trumpets and made announcements to make sure that everyone witnessed their deeds. In other words, when they were giving, they called for attention to themselves, seeking the approval of men, and consequently, their giving was not honoring to God. Practically, these people were pretenders. They pretended to help while actually they were interested in public appreciation. We see the same attitude today. It is a popular attitude in our days. But Jesus says it is not a Christian way. It is not something that a Christian should be doing. So Jesus, he gives us this warning because he's aware that there are women and men out there, even in the church today, hypocrites, thirsty for popularity contests. People who just want to come to church to be known. Jesus is aware of this thing. So he continues then, he says, but the Christian should do nothing as good performance. The Christian should do nothing with his hand, actually disconnected from his heart as it were. So whatever you do with your hand must be connected with your heart. You must not do anything to take advantage of the needy by acting out charity for the sake of status. Jesus is like standing somewhere in one of the biggest stages of South Africa. If there's any big stage, it's like standing there looking at the hypocrisy that is going on in our country. These words are so fresh to us even this morning. It's like Jesus in mind had us even today, looking at the self-righteous people, the religious pretenders out there, but at the same time not focusing too much on the religious pretenders, but giving this warning to his people not to fall to the snare of the devil, whereby everything is about me, myself, and I. Jesus says, do not fall into that, because such attitude is hypocritical. It is a waste of time. It is also a waste of privilege. God has given you a privilege to honor him. We are wasting time. At the end of the day, there is no reward for you. At the end of the day, there is nothing that you as a person can look forward to. Why? Because the Bible says you already have received your reward. What is your reward? The applause that you get from men. So there is no future reward for you. It says this should not be done. Do not waste privilege. But I want you to notice, as I was saying earlier on, Jesus is not condemning giving, friends. Giving is good. We must give. We are encouraged to give. But the issue is that the motive and the attitudes must be right. The motive and the attitude of the heart must be right. That is all that Jesus is all about. We must not give in a way that allows you to look back and brag about what you have done. It is not like painting the tar road, whereby you put a line and then you can look back and see how straight or how skewed the line is. Giving has nothing to do about you picking up some kind of self-indulgence from it. He says, do not advertise what you are doing. And that is the downfall of the Pharisees, my friend. Exactly who they were. They did everything they could to advertise their giving. They pretended to give, but actually they were interested in gaining. Doesn't that sound like the theology of today? When you give, you get. You don't give, you don't get. There's truth in that, but it becomes false when we emphasize more on the giving because the heart is in the receiving. You get that? You give because your heart is in the giving, not because your heart is in the receiving. So the Pharisees' heart was more in the receiving. That is the same attitude we have today in the so-called churches, whereby you give with an intention to receive something, whereby you are motivated and persuaded to plant a seed. That's what we are told. What does planting a seed mean? It actually means that you must have faith in your own works. You must have faith in your own wrong motives. Somehow your wrong motives, somehow your silly works will open up the heart of God, that God will bless you. That is what planting a seed means. Is that actually true, my friends? It doesn't sound true because it is not true. That is the teaching and the motivation in most popular pop culture Christian churches today. You must use your best gift to give to God. You must use your best gift to open God's windows of heaven, that He may shower you down with favor and blessing. You must use your best gift to manipulate God for greater favor. Friends, such practice and teaching is unbiblical. It is from the pit of hell. That is what Jesus is worried about here. And today we still stand in the same kind of false teaching. So He's warning His church. He's warning us this morning. Let us not fall to the snare of the devil, whereby giving is all about me and what I get out. Giving must be all about the person I'm giving to, which is actually God. That is what Jesus is all about here. Because such teachings and such motivations whereby we are taught to give because we will get is not found in the Bible. It does not teach what Jesus taught. It does not follow His pattern of sacrifice. Remember, Jesus did not come to receive glory for Himself. The Bible tells us that He came to seek the glory of His Father. He came to give a life to a sinful, needy people. So as He gives that life in that secret compartment of your heart, where nobody sees it, as He gives that life, Jesus does not sound a trumpet. That is what this is all about. Jesus is the perfect example. Hypocrisy, my friend, is bad. It leads people to false doctrines. It creates or form hypocrites, heretics, rather. Hypocritical giving is like standing before a mirror and you apply makeup. Not because there's something wrong with makeup, no. But it is an example that I want to bring to you. It's like you apply makeup in front of the mirror, then you look at yourself, as you see the wrinkles go one by one, one at a time, you're covering them with the makeup, and then you say to yourself, indeed, I am handsome. And then you walk outside, your friends who are on makeup themselves, they say, you look beautiful as ever. Friends, it is temporal.
That is not you. It is good to do it, but it does not reflect the you. If you want to see the you, wake up in the morning, run to the mirror. That is you. Hypocrisy is the same. People start trying to steal glory that does not belong to them. Hypocrisy. It is the same, my friends. It is that self-promotion replacing, please get this one right, self-promotion replacing self-denial. Jesus wants us to deny ourselves. Hypocrisy glorifies men at the expense of the glory of God. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter number 5. There we are told that they sounded the trumpet on their giving. They told everybody that they will be giving with property. So as everybody was waiting for these funds to come, as they claimed that they were giving with their property, what did they do? The Bible tells us that they kept some of the money for themselves. When they have received the glory from men, when they were counted among those who have given greatly, they hid something. So they begin by saying, we will do this, but then when everybody knows they will do it, then they keep something for themselves. They already have the glory from men. Oh, these are the ones who will give, but then they ended up not. What happened to them? It was minutes later, they fell over the cliff of death because they lied to the Holy Spirit. Friends, what I'm trying to say here is that your motive, your attitude matters when you are giving. It is not how much you are giving. Of course, it is important to consider how much you are giving. The gift must make sense. What you are bringing or what you are giving to someone must be reasonable. But most importantly, how much spiritually rich is that gift? That is what is important. Is your gift spiritually heavy? Does it weigh? Is there a weight? Spiritual weight on it, as you put it in the scale of the gospel, as you put it against the word of God, does it make sense spiritually? That's what matters, not if the giving is large in the coffers. Remember Luke chapter number 21 verse 1-4, Jesus condemning the Pharisees giving there. He says they gave out of abundance, but there was a poor woman there who gave a penny. And Jesus says that woman gave out of her heart, and her offering was the greatest offering. Why? Because she gave out of her heart, not because she gave a penny. But the gift was heavy, was loaded spiritually. So giving, my friends, should never be motivated by heartfelt needs, which is what we see today. Isn't it, church? Giving motivated by heartfelt needs. Giving in pursuit of physical health and wealth. Friends, you cannot buy God. That is what Jesus is all about here. You cannot buy God. Actually, people like that, they don't devote themselves to God anymore, because they think in their giving, it is the devotion to God. But they will not spend time in prayer and sit here to listen to the word of God. They will send the money thinking the money opens the windows of heaven for the blessings of God. You cannot buy God. Because now, in one hand, you want the blessing of God. In the other hand, you want the honor from men. Hypocrisy does not bless, does not bring blessing. Jesus says, be aware of hypocritical giving. Do not be a pretender whose outside appearance contradicts the inward reality. Did you get that? Your outside appearance must not contradict the inward reality. Don't give more when you know your heart is not giving more. And don't give less when you know that your heart is giving more. Be aware of practicing your righteousness so that men may see you. That was the first thing, the warning against hypocritical giving. Secondly, let's consider the
recommendation then. Recommendation towards sincere giving. Verse 2 to 4. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound not trumpet before you as hypocrites do in their synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Friends, what we observe here is that sincerity of heart in giving is what should drive giving. Sincerity of heart should drive giving. That is in contrary to hypocrisy. Remember, in hypocrisy, what drives giving is the reward. What am I going to get? How am I going to look like? Here, sincerity of heart, what is within the heart, needs to drive the giving. So we see in this verse, friends, that actually God arranges opportunities for us to give. Look at the verse. Jesus says, when you give to the needy. He does not say, if you give. When? It means it will happen. It should happen. We will look at that in my third point. It should happen. So, when you give, not if you give. In other words, this will be one of the things that are categorized as your spiritual exercise. You will be doing giving. And when you practice such a thing, it must be done with sincerity of heart, not eye service. You see the contrast? Hypocrisy, eye service, sincerity of heart. So Jesus says it must be done with no eye service. You must give out of love. You must give out of the desire to honor and glorify God, because the primary consumer, the primary absorber, the person who received the gift is God. The person you give to physically is a secondary absorber. So, in other words, as you give to someone, you are actually giving to God. Are we together? God is the first person. Regardless of the fact that what you give is received by a man, that man is a secondary absorber of, or the consumer of the gift. So he says your giving must be secret. Do you see that in your Bible? Your giving must be secret. Why? Again, to emphasize the point that your giving is to God. God alone sees in the secret of the heart. And he only considers then the things done from an upright heart. The people you're giving to physically are not able to see what is within the heart. That is why they are not the primary reason you give. They are not the primary consumer. God is the primary, because God sees the motive. Why are you giving? Is there sincerity of heart in your act of worship? Because it is an act of worship. So, friends, if there is a secret that each and everyone should keep, it is the secrecy of giving. You can confess every secret that you have to men to help you pray, to go for counseling. But the secret of giving should not be confessed. So in other words, regardless of the fact that people see what you are doing, it's not for you to go and say, did you see? Or to make sure that people see that you did that. It is a secret. It is something between the giver and God. It has nothing to do with anyone else. It is nobody else's business, because it looks unto God. It is a private transaction known only to God and that man. It's a secret between the two. So, as you give, you are encouraged to give. You give to God. You're not giving to men. Sincerity of heart in giving is recommended also because it encourages humility. It encourages humility. He says, not even your left hand should know what your right hand is giving. It teaches that there should be no pride. It teaches against pride and self-importance. It opens our eyes to the bigger picture that actually God is working in you to bless someone else. It is not your doing. You become humble. You realize that God is pleased to use you as a child of God. One of our African proverbs says, "Izandla ziyageza." Do you know that one? One hand washes the other. That is true. I believe that. It is impossible for you to drive your nice manual transmission car with one hand. You can't change a gear and drive and open a window. It becomes impossible. We need both hands. It is a fact that you cannot pick up a heavy object with one hand. It becomes difficult. Both hands, friends, are formed to work in unison. But here where we read, strange enough, when it comes to giving, one hand should not know what the other hand is doing. In other words, not only should you keep your gift secret to someone else, your gift must also be secret to you. How impossible that is. How can it be that your gift is secret to you? Because you must know. You must be responsible for what you are giving. It's not a matter of putting a hand in a pocket and close your eye and then whatever comes out you give. No. But it says here, your gift must be secret even to you. In other words, it is not something that you do to keep records on. It is not something that you can trace back to and say, you know what, I know what I've done. This is what I've been doing for God. It is not for you to keep record. Only God is able to keep record. Jesus does not say here, when you give your tithes to the church, you must not know how much you're giving, and you must not put on your bank statement, if you're using the bank, that as a reference, your name as a reference. No, he's not talking about that. It is not something you keep as a self-praise record. That is all this is about. Jesus is against that blatant, the deliberate giving which drives people to pride. Deliberate giving which is born out of a prideful heart which desires an applause from men. Another reason why sincerity of heart is recommended in giving is that it has a reward. If you look at your Bible, it has a reward, but a reward from God. Every giving has a reward. If you give in the eyes of men, you have a reward from men, the applause. But sincerity of giving has a reward from God, the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. The Bible says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. In a literal translation, it will say, your Father who sees will reward you in secret. In other words, people will see you flourishing. Without understanding what is happening, they will see you flourishing because you are giving in secret. Some people, if you are in business, they will see your business blossoming. Then they will try to have the same business next to you, but it will not work for them because you are blessed by God. Sounds like some kind of charismatic prosperity gospel. But it's the truth. Praise be to God. People will see you flourishing. Your Father will reward you. But not only here on earth. That's where the difference is between the false gospel of the charismatics and us. The difference is, your Father not only rewards you here, but even in heaven, you will receive a reward. If you don't receive a reward today, or you miss out on a reward in this earth, there is a reward for you in heaven. The Bible says, Jesus will look at you with a smile and says, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Listen to Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 to 40. There we are told that when the kingdom of God is consummated, in other words, when the kingdom of God has come in full, when it is obvious to everyone that Jesus is king, the Christian will be blessed by Jesus. Jesus' breathtaking words. He will be saying to them, I was hungry, you gave me food, I was thirsty,
You gave me a drink. I was a stranger. You welcomed me. I was naked. You clothed me. I was sick. And you visited me. I was in prison. And you came to me. But of course, then the righteous people will be wondering, but when did this happen? Of course, that's when you were doing those things without other people seeing. The other people are asking, when did this guy do that? Jesus says, yeah, but the righteous will be taken by surprise. The other righteous, with you, together, taken by surprise. And they will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you? Or when did we see you naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Do we get the church? In this passage, the Christian will be happy. The Christians, we are told here, will receive a reward. One more reason is that sincerity of heart in giving glorifies God. Your offering is not for your personal benefit, but an act of holy worship before God. So we hear here in these words that I've read to you in chapter number 6, Jesus is saying there will be a reward. This tells us that we'll be filled with joy, not because of the reward, but also to realize that God was pleased to see our giving as an act of worship. Because everybody gives, remember? But not every gift God sees it as an act of worship. But our giving glorified God. So we realize here that our giving, as God receives it, He finds pleasure in them or in it. It glorifies Him. It's from a sincere heart, not from a heart full of eye service. So now that we know the wrong attitude, now we know the right attitude, I think this raises one final consideration then. Thirdly, the necessity of giving. In the verses before us here, verse number 1 to 4, the idea of giving to the poor is repeated 4 times. Just to show you that it is necessary. That's where I get to bring this point. It is repeated 4 times. Perhaps to emphasize its importance. In verse number 1, it is called practicing your righteousness. In verse number 2, it says, when you give to the needy. In verse number 3, it says, when you give to the needy. In verse number 4, it is called your giving. Jesus, each and every verse that we have read today, alludes to the idea of giving to the poor, because it is necessary for the church, for individual believers, to give. Giving is necessary. You see in all these phrases, practicing your righteousness, giving to the needy, it's all have an idea of almsgiving, to give something out, not just to pray. Today we have people who only pray for the needy. It is good to pray for the needy, but people will not eat prayer. God raised you to give. You see the idea of almsgiving, the idea of charity, the idea of donation to the poor, the idea of mercy and pity on them, the compassionateness that is exercised towards the poor. That is the idea here. So the question is, why is it necessary to give? Firstly, they are needy people. They are needy people. So the Holy Spirit then stirs the heart of the believer to be sensitive to his or her surrounding. You need to be sensitive to your surrounding, especially in the household of God.
That's where it should start, in the household of God. We need to understand that God has put us in a place for a specific reason, maybe to take care of the needy among us. And of course, that's not the gospel. That is not why the church exists. But it is good when the church do such service to the poor, especially those in the household of God. Even the Old Testament, there we see that giving to the needy has always been on God's heart. Turn to Exodus 23. Exodus 23, we read verse 10 to 11. Get this idea. God's heart towards the poor. This is a God who cares about the poor people. As the world is failing to care about the poor people, God cares about the poor people. Exodus 23 verse 10 to 11, it reads as following. For 6 years you shall sow your land and gather its yield. But in the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow. Why must you let it rest to lie fallow? That the poor of your people may eat. So in other words, you will not take everything from the vineyards, from your land that was planted. On the seventh day, let it lie like that so that your poor may eat. And what they leave, the beasts of the field may eat. You shall do likewise with your vineyard and with your orchards. In these two verses, friends, from Exodus, we see that God specifically commanded his people to care or to make sure that the poor eat. It is a command. The poor must eat. They must eat to the point that they leave something for animals. They must eat to the fullest. The poor must eat in the house of God. Not breadcrumbs falling from a table. Not some gruesome leftovers which even a dog will not eat, but will rather lick the wounds of a poor person. That's not what we give. You give abundantly so that even there's leftovers for animals. The second reason, not that only there's poor people that you must give. Secondly, giving give us joy in the Lord when it is done in faith. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Giving give us joy to God, because we have done something that God has instructed us to do. So giving, friends, is a token of worship. That's why we find joy in doing it. We find joy in worshiping King Jesus. So in giving, we find joy because it is a token of worship. So it should always be in our arsenal, as it were. It must be on that arsenal of praise and worship. What do I mean by that? Giving should be something which is always in the chamber, if you know a gun, in a chamber, as it were, as we are always shooting our praises and worship unto God. Those bullets going out there in words should also be bullets of giving as well. Shooting out praises and worship unto God. Giving is part of our life. It gives us joy in the Lord. Thirdly, through giving we store our treasure in heaven. Verse 4. Give in secret and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I want you to remember what I said before about the Apostle Paul, chapter 4, verse 19, the book of Philippians. He says that because you have taken care of me, you have taken care of my needs, we have stored your treasures in heaven. For that reason, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ. So as you give to someone, as you give to the needy, as you give to the distressed, God will never leave you without anything for yourself. He will provide or will raise somebody to also give to you in the time of need, like he did raise you to give to someone else in the time of need.
Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put on your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. In chapter number 5, verse 16, there we are told that our good gifts, or our good deeds, our good works in Christ opens the eyes of the world to see the glory of God. Remember, it says, let your light do what? Let your light shine, so that who? The world may see your good deeds and praise you? No, and praise your Father who is in heaven. So our good works open the eyes of the world to see the glory of God. That is what we exist for, to bring glory to God. So our good works as well bring glory to God. It attracts people's attention. Fourthly, giving teaches us some sense of responsibility. Responsibility to God and responsibility to one another. Remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. The Apostle Paul there. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. There is here a responsibility to God, but we are giving to someone else. There's also a responsibility to one another. The Apostle Paul here, he encourages the church to give with humble hearts to that specific need, to give above the normal giving in the church. So when you have given something to someone, doesn't mean you are no longer coming to give in the church. I've heard somebody says, I've given my tithe to a stranger on the street, so I'm not tithing in the church. No, my friend, don't count it like that. Give to the needy, but you also need to give to the church. This was above the giving in the church, but giving to one another also as responsibility to God. So when the church hears of a need, the church must give. The need must be met. But God will not put in our bank account, Sovereign Grace Bible Church, FNB account, He will not put R1 million. No, that's not what God's going to do. He will not put thousands of rands here on Sunday morning so that when we come in, we find a bag. No, God is not going to do that. But God is going to use you to bless the church. He's going to use you to bless someone, even in the church. God uses means to bring all the glory to Himself, to raise and build His church. You will be that blessing to the needy. You will be that blessing to the church. You must stretch your hand to your pocket, and God will stretch His hand of grace upon you. Listen to what He said to the Israelites in Malachi 3, verse 10. We know this verse. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there must be food in my house. And if I put me in the test, says the Lord of hosts, I will open the test. I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no need. I know many ears go up when you read this verse. But friends, of course, this verse is not directly given to us. But God is God. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He was able to promise the people of the past that if they give unto Him, He will also give unto them. He will open the windows of heaven for them. We are saving the same God who has saved us the same way He was saving them. God is faithful. He will do the same. He will do the same. Giving is necessary. So, in conclusion, we are to give. That's clear. We are to do good deeds, my friends. We are to do good deeds with the view of Christ as our perfect example. The Bible tells us that Jesus went throughout doing good deeds. We need to follow His example. We need to walk as He walked. We need to look at Him who lived for the glory of God, not to please men. We need to cry unto Him. Even this morning, it must be your cry as an individual believer. Lord, I desire your way of righteousness. May I follow your example with a sincere heart. May I find in myself something special that you have created within me. May I focus unto you, O God. not to be found as a man seeking applause and favor from other people. May I do good deeds unto others, because they are needy people, but because you also are faithful God. Regardless of the fact that I am a needy person myself, use me, O God, to bless someone. Is that your prayer, my friend? Remove that mask from me, O God. Take away the pretense that I may not do something so that I may find favor with someone else, but that I may be truly in love with you. Because only then I can pray to you without hypocrisy as well. Because remember, friends, Jesus does not say we must not do acts of righteousness. We must do acts of righteousness. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before others to be seen. We must still practice acts of righteousness, but make sure that your acts of righteousness are not out there for other people to see you. Because we are not, Christianity is not a political party where you do something so that one day you may be on top of the ladder, as it were. This is the house of God. We do something because God has commanded us. We have the Bible as the mirror, as our focus, even this morning. So we give in a way that suggests that our inward person is kneeling before God every time we do every act of worship. Remember that God needs you to give, but He doesn't need you to sound a trumpet for yourself, but also not to sound a trumpet for Him. He is able to see in the secret caves of your heart. So practice your righteousness like Jesus. Avoid hypocrisy. Give to the needy. Give like a Christian. As I say, give like a Christian, I assume that you are a Christian. Give for the sake of God, not for the sake of self. Give from a sincere heart. Next week we shall consider hypocrisy in praying. I'm not sure what the title will be, but the idea will be about hypocrisy in praying. The good Lord bless us. Let's pray.
So we thank you, O Lord, for your words. We thank you to be reminded, O Lord, of our duty towards you.